Van Wee Financial is a registered investment advisor. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor and or tax professional before implementing any strategy discussed herein. It's Saturday morning. It's 10 o'clock. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And we are here live and in color, as promised and as always. And if you want to prove that we are here on this 30th day of December, the last show in 2017, and just four shows away from being the start of our third year, February 1st. So thanks to everybody who've made almost 3 years a reality out there.
Yeah, that's actually the start of our fourth year.
Oh, that's what I meant.
Yeah.
The conclusion of our third year, start of our fourth year. Yeah. No wonder I feel old sometimes. Between that and my age, I should. there's that. Anyway, to the regulars who've been with us so long, thanks so much. Keep coming back. As long as you do, we will. And there's so much going on at any time. There's so much misinformation. I got a lot of talk about that to do today. But we're going to have some fun, as always, because, my gosh, if you can't have fun at the conclusion of a year like we just had, then I got to give you the Ebenezer Scrooge Award.
Yeah, it was a pretty fun year if you were an investor.
And that's not what some people tried to tell you about 14 months ago, and we'll talk about that, too. But to heck with them, I say. Sometimes the hardest thing to do is to believe your eyes, or as Marvin Gaye said, believe half of what you see and none of what you hear.
That's about right.
Yeah, it is. He was a wise man, apparently. Anyway, if you want to dictate what's on the show today, or if you just want to prove that we're actually here live, all you got to do is pick up the phone, dial 904-222-8255. That's 904-222-TALK, and we will discuss whatever is on your mind, or if you just want to say Happy New Year to someone or everyone, that's fine, too. You want to talk about the market, you want to talk about any of the new rules that are changing, which we're going to be dedicated to. In fact, I don't make resolutions. I made one resolution that I have kept for years. That was years ago, and that was to never make another resolution. But I'm going to break that resolution, because the one resolution I decided I'm going to make this year is that we're going to learn this new tax law as quickly as humanly possible, because from a financial planner standpoint, there's a lot of things that have changed. For the end user, there won't be that many changes, but if you're looking long term for your various types of accounts and various types of this and that, there are going to be some planning difficulties and some planning changes. There are also a lot of changes being made in the arenas of long-term care and some topics like that that we're going to hit. Next year is going to be a very good year for topics revolving around changes in society, changes in the law, and all of that stuff. And now that we all have some money to spend, I'm going to also suggest a couple of things, like let's spend a little bit of our time this year getting out of debt. I think if somebody wants to make a New Year's resolution that they actually can keep, and it's a lot easier in good times than in bad times, you can get out of debt, and especially if you're one of those lucky 80% that are actually getting a tax cut from the new bill that was recently signed into law. Might be a good idea to look at what that can produce for you in terms of overall debt reduction. So among the topics.
Put it towards your credit cards.
Yeah, absolutely right. If you want to prioritize anything in life financial, getting credit cards paid down and eventually off, that would be an excellent start.
That is a good New Year's resolution.
It is indeed. Well, this week kind of was a thud, and I'll tell you why. It's very simple. A lot of mutual fund managers want their annual performance to look good. A lot of their holdings were super high, and we're going into a three-day weekend and a new year. So what happened Friday afternoon? They took a bunch of profits, thereby easing any pressure, upward pressure on the market, so it wound up falling a bit. Certainly didn't put a damper on the month, the week, the year, It's difficult not to keep smiling. So we don't have a great deal to discuss except how good things were, but tell us what your view of this year's market was or is and where we're going.
Well, right after that happened on Friday, the inevitable followed, which was there was a bunch of articles written, oh my gosh, was this week foreshadowing all of 2018? And the answer to that is, of course, no, it is not. It wasn't even that bad of a week.
No.
It drifted down a little bit on light trading.
Nothing went down a whole percent.
No. Let's see. So the S&P dropped 0.4% for the week. The Dow was down 0.2%, and the NASDAQ down 0.8%. So really just kind of a blah week. Light trading, bunch of traders take off this week anyway. Just not a lot of action in the market. And it still didn't even really hamper December's results because we closed out with gains of 1.8% on the Dow, 1.0% on the S&P, and 0.4% on the NASDAQ. So the Santa Claus rally, still real.
Yep.
December is usually one of the best months of the year, and this one did not disappoint. So for the quarter, the Dow gained 10.3%, the NASDAQ 6.3%, and the S&P 6.1%. That's a good year in most years.
No kidding. In fact, if you told me right now, I could eliminate all doubt and accept that as all of next year's results.
I'm in.
I'm in too.
Yeah. So for the year, the numbers are now final, and the S&P posted just a tiny gain of 19.4%. The Dow was just a little bit better at 25.1%, and the NASDAQ was the clear winner at 28.2%. In 2017, we set 71 new all-time highs on the Dow. That is pretty impressive.
It is indeed.
That's a good year. On top of a light week of trading, it was a light week for economic data. A few things that did come out included pending home sales, which were pretty much flat. Initial jobless claims remained at their very low rate. And consumer.
I didn't even see that number this week. I don't know how I missed that.
I think it was 238 or 245.
Yeah. Another paltry.
Right in where it's been.
Mm-hmm.
And consumer confidence came in below the estimate, but it's still historically very high. So nothing earth-shattering there, and that kind of reflected what happened in the market. Gold, however, had a nice week,
yes,
gaining over 2%. And for the year, gold was up almost 13%. So not a bad year for gold, considering the last five have been pretty terrible.
Yep.
Silver had an even better week, posting gains of 3.6%. It did not have quite as good of a year, though. It gained just under 6%.
It's more volatile.
The other commodity that had a really nice week was oil, posted gains of over 3%. Oil is now up over 11% since the beginning of 2017. And it's been a pretty volatile ride, but we reached $60 per barrel.
First close over 60 this year, I believe.
No, first close over 60 in 2.5 years.
Wow.
Yeah. However, it wouldn't be a year-end summary without talking about our favorite cryptocurrency, Bitcoin. It started the year around $1,000 per coin. It climbed to over $19,000 just a few weeks ago, and then it was trading back in the 12,500 range at the end of this week and trending down really fast.
Yeah.
So watch out if you're a cryptocurrency investor, because I don't expect 2018 to be any less volatile.
No, and it's got something going on that it hasn't had too much of, or hasn't had much information about anyway. It's called competition.
Oh, it's everywhere now.
Everywhere. Cryptocurrencies are a hot topic. And boy, if you want to find a reason to avoid things like that, how about that one?
Yeah, just be careful. Yeah. Don't invest what you can't afford to lose.
Really careful. All right, after the break, when we come back, we'll have our trivia question, and we'll get into some market statistics that are very interesting for this year and for the 13 months since the election, and a whole bunch of other goodies. So give us a call. Lines are open. 222-TALK. Don't go anywhere. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour.
Let's get back to the Van Wee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3, The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Once again, here's Stephen and Adam Van Wee.
Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
Our trivia question brought to you by Ken Bales at First Coast Alarm. You can call Ken at 636-7888. Going to spend a little time today talking to younger people who are at that age group that maybe they're starting to think about what they want to do for the rest of their lives and make a living here and there. And one of the things that has, of course, interested us, because Adam's been doing it long enough, is we're going to take a little look at financial advisors. And one of the statistics I'm going to give you on that has to do with the number of advisors that are male and female. And females occupy a pretty small contingent. This is related to that, sort of directly, sort of not. Within 5 years, what percentage of American household wealth will be controlled by women? I'll take that within a couple of points. And that it has been shown that the most successful firms are not those that are all men or all women. The most successful firms from a recently completed study are firms that have a combination, which I don't know that anyone would have expected or not. I never really gave it a thought until I heard about it. But I do know that there is a very good prospective future, I guess, for young people of any variety who would like to get into this kind of thing. The three things that you need to like, and you can ask yourself these questions. Do you like these three things? Money, people, and math. You say no to any one of those, you're probably headed the wrong direction. But if those three things are interesting to you, might be something to start thinking about.
Well, not even necessarily true. You could, if you are not into one of those, go to one of the big wirehouses. They have jobs that are just, if you don't like people, they'll put you in the back office.
Right.
If you don't like the math side, they'll put you in the front office meeting with people.
But I was talking about doing it the right way. Our way.
Sure.
What can I say? Anyway, what percentage of household wealth will be in the hands of women within 5 years?
And it's a pretty substantial number.
Yeah.
And it's not really surprising considering women are getting advanced, well, college degrees, advanced degrees.
Most entrance to college.
Yep.
Most entrance to the advanced programs, degree programs.
At a higher rate than men, mm-hmm. All of those things. Law schools, business schools.
And I appended to this little list of reasons, I told Adam earlier, good divorce lawyers. I think the women hire better divorce lawyers than the men do. So that winds up with a pretty good outcome. But women are notoriously frugal, which is a good thing, but quite a lot of them are risk averse. And the only way that I know of, after years and years in this business, that you can overcome your aversion to risk is knowledge. If you want to feel more comfortable taking market risk, the more knowledge you have, the more comfort you're likely to have. But too many people get hung up on the concept of, I don't want to lose a penny. Well, okay, the answer to that is, fine, don't lose a penny. You won't make a penny either. Or maybe you'll make a penny, but no more.
I would love to see the number of investors in Bitcoin that are scared to buy an S&P 500 tracking fund.
Yeah, you and me. And that's the problem. Greed supplants knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
It supplants risk aversion. And we see it all the time. You're exactly right. I've read it recently. That if you asked everybody who you ever have met who said, I'm very risk averse, how many of them own Bitcoin or something like that, you'll get an amazing percentage. Oh, yeah, well, I can get rich quick.
Yeah.
Speaking of getting rich quick. I just heard a commercial on one of the local stations. In fact, I think it was this one. I want somebody to call that and find out how they're going to get your mortgage paid off in 2.5 years. You call the show and discuss it with us, please. I don't think you'd take my call. Paying off your mortgage in 2.5 years has a lot of variables, such as the size of your mortgage versus the size of your income.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you're going to rob banks or something, fine, but I'm not. Good morning and Happy New Year to Captain Dave.
Happy New Year, guys, just so I call it, and wish you a happy and prosperous New Year.
Well, I'm so glad you did, because we have certainly set ourselves up as a country, as a company, as a radio program, and as friends of a lot of people to do just that. I think it's been about the most fun I've ever had being in this business for the last 16 years, and I'm looking forward to next year as much as anything.
That's great. I had a pretty good year, you know. I'm pretty conservative, but yeah. I still wound up 14%. So
yep. Playing around a little bit here and there, and taking it easy otherwise.
Yeah,
that's you.
Playing around. I'll talk about our favorite stock again. This'll teach you something. You can have the best product there is, and if you've got lousy management, it's going to be a problem.
That's the truth. And I've said it over and over the years. Good things happen to bad stocks, and bad things happen to good stocks. That's why being a stock picker is dangerous.
Yeah, well, that like I say, that's just a roulette game. But it's just like playing cards.
Yep.
But the underlying product's good. Sooner or later, somebody will figure out how to run that company, and it'll suddenly be like a $10 stock. But
yep.
And if it's not, well, you know, again, you know, what did I lose? I didn't lose anything.
Yeah, if you're playing around with a little bit of house money, what the heck? Then you can do those things. Long term, no one would recommend it.
Like 77 cents.
Yeah, exactly. Isn't that crazy? But hey.
Well, it's just bad management. They got, you know, nobody over there seems to know how to promote their product. They do a lot of presentations and all the big things, and nothing seems to happen. Oh, well.
Strange.
Anyway, have a great and happy new year. Next time I talk to you, it'll be down on the island, so I'll say hello.
Little Jamaica time coming up in 2018, huh?
Yep, it's time. I was there in the middle of November, and we're going down in January, so.
All right. Well, you have a great time. Stay safe. Make some money.
You too. Take care.
Thanks for the call. All right. Let's see. Where do we want to start? Oh, talking about the good economy. The good market is a reflection of a good economy, believe it or not. And I'll get into this a little further after the bottom of the hour break. But what happened over the last 14 months or so has been some parts attitude and some parts actuality. You listened, regulations, and now the tax plan and so on. And since the people are expecting more good things, there have been quite a lot of significant companies come out and be supportive of the plan and showing it by the promises that they have made to their employees and their shareholders. And Adam has an updated list because it seems every day that somebody else is jumping on the bandwagon.
Yeah, the most recent one that I saw this morning was Netflix plans to increase the compensation of some of their top executives, which that's kind of bucking the trend because the trend has been to reward the non-executives and keep executive pay level. So that was kind of an unusual statement.
I have a theory about that. I was telling Adam in the break that some of these companies are probably going to try not to move out of the high-tax states that they operate in. And in order to do so, because those are the people, the highly paid people in the high-tax states, are the ones that are not getting a tax cut, they're going to wind up paying more. I think they're going to have salary increases to cover that additional so that they can break even with this year. And it sounds to me like Netflix has realized that that situation is applicable to them. I can't say for sure, but
that
it sounds
might be
like
true,
it.
Though. But there is a bunch of new small companies that are kind of following the trend that I guess AT&T set when they announced they were giving $1,000 bonuses.
Mm-hmm.
And those include Kansas City Southern. They're going to do the $1,000 bonus, and it's only to non-executives. U.S. Bank is doing the same thing. It's for people making up to but not over $150,000. So, again, rewarding the lesser-paid workers. PNC Financial doing the same thing. Rush Enterprises of Texas is doing, again, the same thing, $1,000 bonus, 6,600 employees, so $6.6 million. Associated Bank, based out of Wisconsin, boosting their own internal minimum wage to $15 an hour and giving a $500 bonus. Melaleuca, it's a healthcare company.
What's the last thing in the world I would call my healthcare company?
is giving... $100 bonuses for every year that the employee has been at the company.
Nice.
Yeah. And then a couple of others opening new stores, a couple others boosting internal wages by 5% and adding people. And again, Aquesta Financial Holdings boosting their minimum wage and $1,000 bonuses. And the list goes on. First Hawaiian Bank, Bank of Hawaii. There's just a this list is pretty long, and it's almost all $1,000 bonuses are boosting internal minimum wage.
And they are going all the way down to the bottom of the chart.
Yeah, these no, things. These are, I mean, 95% of these are focused on the people who earn the least.
Kind of a spit in the face of the liberal argument that all of this was going to go to people buying back their shares and and increasing their dividends, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
In fact, Rubio stuck his neck out again. If that man would just think for 5 minutes before he opens his mouth once in a while, he'd be a lot better off. But he came out and said, well, I think the tax bill was slanted too far toward the corporations because all they're going to do is buy back their shares and raise their dividends. Come on. You know better than that because you were there in the first announcements of these people that say they're going to give them down to the employees.
Well, the good thing about the timing of this is that the job market is hot. So
yes.
Retaining good employees is actually becoming more of an issue. So paying them more is one surefire way to retain a higher percentage.
Yeah, there's going to be a snowballing effect as more and more companies join this bandwagon because people are going to be retaining these things. I would almost guarantee you that any successful company who does that this year will do it again next year because some people are going to. And that the competition within the employer group, the competition for jobs, is what's finally going to get us off of dead center on the wage growth that we have not experienced for the last 10 or 20 years. This is going to be ultimately a good thing for basically for everybody as we create new consumers. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back after a short break. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Van Wee Financial is a registered investment advisor. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor and/or tax professional before implementing any strategy discussed herein.
Let's get back to the Van Wee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3, The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Once again, here's Stephen and Adam Van Wee.
Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And good morning, Al.
Good morning. I have a question about these cannabis companies, these small ones up in Canada. They keep coming in on my portfolio screen shorted stock events. Some of them are a dollar, some are less than a dollar, some of them are $20, some are $5, some are $1. And I noticed that they have some information about there's 29 states that are already had approved medical marijuana and so forth and so on. So I'm just wondering, trying to get your opinion as to whether or not somebody should invest in some of these small amounts with some money you can afford to lose.
Well, I think Adam's probably better able to speak to that than I am. Not because he's so familiar with it, but
that didn't come across right.
I think for the most part, you'd look at an investment like this as being something that younger people might be interested in. So I'm going to let him.
I'm an old guy, but I'm still looking for make money.
And if it's if it's a little bit of money and you want to play with it just on the idea, that's fine. But as I say, I think Adam will be a little more reasonable about it than I might be.
We actually get this question a lot, and it's from every age range, and it's something. Yeah, definitely. We've had retirees down to younger clients ask us about this, and what's the best way to get in. And I think it's going to be a great investment, but it's still in its infancy, and it's still a very risky politically because technically it's still federally illegal. And if they wanted to at any time, they could come in and just break all this up. And that would be a disaster. And I don't think it's going to happen. But there is that added risk to it. I think what you're going to see in the marijuana industry is a ton of consolidation moving forward. And there will be some clear winners and some pretty bad losers.
Right.
And I personally don't know who's going to be what right now. So buying these stocks, if you do it, I would almost put it together like your own little ETF and just buy very small shares of each because you just don't know who's going to emerge on top without getting into the financials. Or there aren't many analysts that follow. I don't know if there are any analysts that follow any of these companies. I have yet to see any. There is a new.
They have some writings at the bottom. I mean, somebody's putting memos out there.
Yeah,
probably. And I've been looking at some of them that are in Canada. They don't have to do any SEC filings, but if you're listed in the United States under the, you can, I guess, a form in the U.S.,
you have to do SEC filings, and you can go in and look at the filings and see what all who owns it and all the number of shares and so forth. But when you get into the Canadian, there's nothing. You're just driving behind a truck at 100 miles an hour.
Yeah, and that's as you well know, that's not our bag. Nope. Of how we invest. The charting is not.
Probably just looking to see who owns it and whether it's legit or not. I mean, it's listed on the exchange, and apparently they'll list almost anything.
Yeah, unfortunately, I was going to say that doesn't necessarily mean it's that legit. I mean, it probably means they have a few employees and maybe even some capital. Who knows? Mm-hmm. But it doesn't mean that they are a legitimate profit-making company yet. So just be careful. But there is a new ETF out that is a VICE ETF. There's been a VICE mutual fund for years, but I think AlphaDex put it out. And it is it concentrates on gambling, tobacco,
alcohol,
and now they've included in the ETF marijuana-related stocks. So that's the first offering I've seen that actually will invest in that sector for you.
What's a symbol for that?
I'll look it up and mention
it. We'll have it next week?
Well, I'll do it just in the next break, but I don't know it off the top of my head. It just came out last week, so it's very new.
Yeah, I've owned the Vice Fund for some time, and as the old saying goes, in bad times people drink, and in good times they drink more and better.
Yeah.
So I've always liked the Vice Fund. That symbol is VICEX, so it's real easy to remember. I'm curious if they're going to label this other one like that. But again, it's very diversified. And I think when you're looking at a highly risky industry such as that one, the more diversification, the better off you're going to be long run.
Right. Okay.
I'm just waiting for someone to come out with the ETF called POT, which includes all those companies.
But that symbol's already used for potash company, unfortunately.
Yeah, maybe they'll buy it. But anyways, I would definitely invest in something like that. But picking the individual companies, especially at this point in the game, is extremely risky.
Unless you could buy 100 shares of each low-priced one and try that, or stick an equal $500 or $200 into each of 20 or 30 of them. And you never know. Maybe you have some success. You don't have to hit often if you hit big.
Right.
Right. That's true.
Yeah.
Right.
We've seen that a lot of times. That's why the mutual fund industry and the exchange traded fund industry exist.
Yeah.
For just that reason. So a very, very good question.
Yeah.
You guys have a happy new year.
Thank you. You want to take a shot at the trivia? What percentage of household wealth will women control within 5 years?
Oh, I would say 60%.
Now, where'd you come up with a number like that? Because the number is 60%.
You nailed it.
How about that?
Is that the number?
That is the number right on the nose. I didn't even need any discretion.
Well, I know from doing a lot of reading with certain magazines and so forth that I knew it was over 50%.
Yeah, and it's going nothing but up. So, well, great. I'll put you on hold, and Alan will get your name and address, and we'll send you a little something from Ken Bales.
Okay.
Well, thanks so much.
Thank you very much.
Happy New Year.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
So everybody loves a winner.
Yeah, that's such a great question. It's something I'm really excited about investing-wise because I just think it's going to be a huge industry in this country when it all, especially if it ever clears any sort of legal hurdles in D.C., that would be, I think you'd just see it absolutely boom.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. There's a lot of demand.
There are.
And a lot of demand that's pent up.
There are a lot of individuals and corporations out in Colorado and other places that are doing very, very well right now because of that industry in California.
Yeah, and the political downside to acting on it right now, in my opinion, really overshadows the upside of cracking down. I don't think you're going to see the Fed step in and blow
this thing. So either, but it is out. I mean, it's a possibility.
It's there. When you talk about things that have certain types of risk, the political risk on this one being basically illegal is very high, and you got to understand that.
But you also have to balance it out with the fact that the country has changed and it's widely accepted now. And
10 years ago, would you have even thought about medical marijuana? Would you have thought about same-sex marriages? Would you have thought about all kinds of things? No.
I think you could only get medical marijuana in California at that point.
Yeah.
And even that was a tiny little sliver of the market. But The fact is, if Washington tried to crack down on that, there would be
uproar
in the streets.
Yeah, yeah, I absolutely agree. All right, well, we've been talking about what a great year it was. How great really was it? I look back to about 14 months ago, and the economists, notable among them is the Nobel economist Paul Krugman. And as somebody said the other day, has Paul Krugman ever called anything right? I thought for a second, said no.
I saw that. I think it was on the news this morning.
I saw it early today, too. Yep. When will the market recover if Trump gets in and the market crashes like you say it will, Paul?
And he said,
never. Never? Really? You find me a topic where I'm willing to use a word like never, and I'll show you something where I need to have my head examined. Anyway, he's a Keynesian leftist anti-Trump idiot, basically. I don't mind saying that right in front of everybody either, because the man never gets anything right, and yet he never has to answer. And it's not just Krugman's, other liberal analysts, including people at the Fed, they're afraid to let the free market work. That's why for the last 8 years, 8 out of 9 years, we've been increasing regulation, and actually for the 10 or so before that, too. Regulations have been strangling business for a long, long time. And it tells me one thing, that people don't have much memory. I'm old enough to remember JFK, Democrat, Ronald Reagan, Republican, George W. Bush, Republican, cutting taxes and experiencing wonderful economic growth for years after that was done. So somehow, these people don't seem to be remember that because they're saying that it isn't likely to happen if we try it again. Well, it has never failed, and therefore I assume that the best predictor of the future is the past, and that it's probably going to work. Well, what we've seen and talked about very briefly today is it has worked. And as soon as we get back from this last break, I'm going to tell you just how well it's been working and what to look forward to as it keeps working. So don't go anywhere. This is going to be good, I think, if you're leaning toward being an optimist, as I sort of always do. All right, we'll be right back after the break. Don't go anywhere. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour.
Let's get back to the Van Wee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3, The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Once again, here's Stephen and Adam Van Wee.
Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And we promised an answer to the last caller, and Adam has looked it up. Then this is the advice fund that includes the marijuana stocks?
Yeah, and it's actually by Advisor Shares, and okay, the ticker symbol is ACT, like ACT. So it includes the traditional vice stocks, which are mm-hmm. tobacco, alcohol, and gambling. Mm-hmm. And then it also has included a portion that is related to cannabis products. So.
And I think that you and I will probably be tracking that for some time to come now.
It's already on my watch list. So
good. Okay. Well, I know a lot of people out there are making some New Year's resolutions, and one of them might be that 2018 is going to be the year that you start working with a financial advisor. A very good idea. And I'm going to tell you a very good way to start. Well, actually, I'm not going to tell you. I'm going to let Adam tell you.
Well, we would recommend that you give us a call. You can always reach us in the office at 904-685-1505. Or really easy, you can just go to our website, which is vanweefinancial.com, and click on the schedule a meeting button. And that will let you look at our calendar, find an open date, and schedule it without even having to lift up your cell phone, except if you're browsing the web on your cell phone.
Yeah, that. All right, so back to the market. We know that when the economics of the country have turned what I call positive in the past, meaning conservative, that the results have always been good. So the question we had 13, 14 months ago was, how will Trump govern? Because after all, he was a former Democrat from New York, and nobody really had a track record for him because he's never been in politics before. So a lot of people were very skeptical that he would turn out to be a true conservative. But it didn't take long to start seeing these programs happening and realizing that he is very much a conservative when it comes to economic things and that it has been working out. So for the 11 months, some of these things are for the 11 months, some are for the 13 months since the election has happened, or almost 14 now. Here are a few things that have transpired. Right now, there are more people working in this country than ever before. The U.S. GDP, the gross domestic product, has never been higher. You know why it would change from the old days when I was young, GNP, gross national product, to gross GDP, gross domestic product?
Oh, I used to know the answer to this, and I cannot remember.
We used to be a net exporter, meaning we exported more things than we imported. So GDP only counted what we made. It didn't count the net of the exports coming in. So we always used GNP because it gave us a bigger number. But when that turned around years ago and we started to import more than we export, which is that trade imbalance that we've been talking so much about, we had to change to GDP to truly describe what was going on here. Just a little trivia information there. The Dow rose nearly 5,000 points in the first year of Trump. It closed at record highs 71 times in the calendar year 2017, which is an all-time record, beating 1995. Since the election of Trump, the Dow is up 35%, or nearly 6,400 points. The 2017 point increase was the highest ever by about 40%. The Dow has risen to new highs 88 times since the November 8th election. Do you remember the prediction and the drop overnight on the 8th of November?
Of course.
It started out to be exactly true, because when the numbers started to turn, it became clear that Trump was getting in there. A lot of people had listened to guys like Krugman, and they sold off. Well, by morning, that was almost over, and by the end of the day, it was over. And I feel sorry, not one tiny little bit, for those people who lost all that money, because it was illogical in the first place. New records were set for the Dow more than one day of every four since Trump. That's incredible. Trump is the only president in history to experience two stock market rallies of 9 days or more when the Dow set a new high every one of those days. On February 28th, Trump matched the longest streak of consecutive new highs at 12, tied with Ronald Reagan. The nine-day streak, the other of the two long ones, ended in early August. This is not a Dow phenomenon. The S&P 500, the NASDAQ, the small cap index, most of them have set many record highs this year. 1.9 million jobs have been created in the first 11 months. Over 160 Americans are working for the first time in history. The Fed, the negative body of the world, raised its estimate of fourth quarter GDP to 4% after whining that we couldn't make 3, which we've done twice. All of this begs the question, do any of these naysayers from 14 months ago ever have to explain themselves or apologize? And yes, that was a rhetorical question. What are the lessons we should take away from the past 14 months? There are lots of them, but here's some of my favorites. Do not confuse political leanings with analysis. It's not easy to do. We're all subject to a phenomenon that makes us believe things that we tend to believe when we hear them, much more than things we tend not to believe, no matter which one actually makes sense. Markets are essentially driven by profits. There are a lot of things that influence short-term moves in the market, but increased profitability is what drives a market up in the long term. The market's always way ahead of us as individuals, somewhere between 6 and 12 months ahead. Collectively, people are not always bright, but collectively, the entire world's financial markets are pretty darn good predictors. Right now, the market's high. Many think it's scary. I call it acrophobia of the Dow, it's fear of heights. But that means that right now, the high market is predicting good economic times. That's why people are in the market now and staying in the market now. Take that a step further. What will those good economic times produce in the market? They call it a virtuous cycle. That means one that drives itself continually up and up. One influences the other, that influences the other, which influences the other, and things get better and better. A lot of that is attitude. One feature that can't be overlooked was for this year was the lack of volatility. And this one is going to cause a little more fear next year. It is not normal, and I can underline that, to have the tiny little bit of volatility that the market has had this year. I think it's very reasonable to expect volatility to return into the market next year. That does not mean it's going to crash. What it does mean, however, is that there are going to be a lot more fearful people out there because they're going to watch it. We might have weeks or even consecutive weeks or maybe even a month where the Dow actually goes down. We haven't had a losing month in too long. It's going to happen, folks. It could turn into a 10% correction. I don't know. The trend in the market is up because the trend in the economy is up. Now, I can't sit here and guarantee you anything any more than anybody else can, but I can promise you that if you keep listening to the show, we will try to keep our wits together, analyze what's going on, and produce reasonable expectations for people that are in the market. Now, what are some of the better things that have happened that are going to make us look at this? Well, the new tax law was signed and delivered, but it's not sealed yet. There are errors in it. There are ambiguities in it. They're going to be ironed out over the weeks. There are some things that we don't like as investors, and one of them I'm going to talk about next week is the Roth conversion recharacterization law that they put a foot on and held it back. I don't like that. I'll tell you why next week. But the FPA and people like that are not going to take this thing lying down either, so don't count it out. This law was the basis for a lot of changes that are coming, including because of the Byrd rule, the fact that the personal cuts expire after 10 years. You can pretty much bank on those getting extended permanently. So they're using it right now as an anti-Trump thing when it's really an anti-Senate thing. As fee-only financial advisors, we have a fiduciary duty to learn as much as possible about the tax code. While we don't prepare tax returns, we have a very large part of our practice that involves tax planning. It's getting a little harder for some people under the new rules. So, as I said earlier, my one resolution and one that I will be keeping this year for a change is that we're going to learn as much as we possibly can about the new tax law and how it applies to you as investors, savers, planners, your estate plans, your college funding, and on and on. Speaking of college funding, a quick note, 529 plans are no longer, as of Monday, just confined to college expenses. They can now be used for public and private schools at all levels. A wonderful thing. We're going to drill in Anwar, another wonderful thing. There are so many more. I'm going to have to come back next year and tell you all about it, I guess. Thanks for listening. Happy New Year to everybody. Can't believe another year is gone, but it is. So we'll see you in 2018. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour.